Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, everyone. Patrick, kindly glad to be with you again. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. I hope that Relevant Radio and the Rediscover Hour have helped to fill this time of social distancing and during this suffering through the pandemic that we are doing, cut off from, supposedly it would seem cut off from our Lord himself, which of course we are not. We are not cut off from our Lord. We are not cut off from our Lady. We are, at least temporarily, we are not able in most part to receive the sacraments, and that is tough. That's very tough, and it should be tough. Perhaps during this desert time, during this fasting time, we are indeed getting a better sense of what lack of the sacraments does in our lives. It makes things more difficult, which means that we have to be all the more intentional and fervent about our devotion to the Lord in other ways, such as in prayer and in incorporating Him into every aspect of our daily lives. It's not easy. I'm suffering right along there with you, brothers and sisters, and I am hopeful and prayerful that hopefully sooner rather than later we'll be allowed to return to worshiping together as the body of Christ and receiving the sacraments in full, including, of course, and especially the Most Holy Eucharist, which is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. In the meantime, though, we are a bit like sheep who are penned up, are we not? Except we're not penned up together, we're penned up separately. And being that we are sheep that are penned up, I thought this was an appropriate metaphor as we are headed into Good Shepherd Sunday this weekend. It is the fourth Sunday of Easter, which is typically known as Good Shepherd Sunday. Little curiosity, though, is that we don't get into this Sunday's gospel readings. We don't get the actual words of Jesus saying, "I am the Good Shepherd." Rather, he focuses on himself as the gate for the sheep. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep." And then he actually repeats it a line later. He says, "I am the gate." And so this one's a little bit harder in our spiritual Ignatian imaginations to understand what he's talking about, specifically for those of us who have lived, who live a majority of our lives or live all of our lives in a more urban context and perhaps remove 2,000 years from the shepherding of ancient Palestine. Granted, we still have shepherds with us today, although it's probably not nearly as common an occurrence as it typically is or was back then. So as we're looking at the gate for the sheep, what does that mean? Well, I suppose that could mean a number of different things, but for one thing, it keeps the bad influences, the bad people, the bad things of our lives out, right? As he is the gate. Jesus himself makes that clear. So he says, "I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them." And a little bit earlier in our gospel passage for this Sunday, he says, "Whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere is a thief and a robber," right? And he continues to talk about the sheep knowing the shepherd's voice. And that is something that is incumbent upon us to listen all the more carefully for our Lord's voice during this time and to make sure that we're not listening to the voices of others. I think maybe this time is a little bit, we're a little bit more susceptible perhaps to tuning in to our favorite news, quote unquote news stations, channels to follow what's going on. And with many major media outlets anyway, there is anywhere from a moderate amount to a heavy amount of commentary that is oftentimes either politically or financially charged. So I think in general, it's a good time to remind ourselves that we need to continue to listen to the voice of Jesus as well. So read your scriptures, pick up your Bible, to spend a bit of time in Lectio Divina every day, listening for tuning your ears and your heart to listen to the Lord's voice, listen for the Lord's voice, to get to know it all the more readily, to know it when He is the one speaking to you interiorly and leading you and guiding you. And in the meantime, I think we can take some solace in the fact that although the gate is there to keep the sheep in, to keep the sheep penned up, that even in our current situation, at some point, it will be the Lord who will let us go, being the gate. He will let us go into pasture. In fact, if we tie in the words of Psalm 23, which of course our lectionary does for this Sunday, we will find that it is the Lord who actually gives us repose in verdant pastures, right? That leads us beside restful waters and refreshes our soul. He will do some of that even now when we are cut off from public worship, when we are cut off from the Eucharist. But it makes it all the sweeter, the idea of returning to public Mass, to returning to receiving the Eucharist on a regular, a weekly, or yeah, a daily basis. What a gift that will be. In the meantime, let's wait with patience. Let's listen for the Lord's voice and tune our ears and hearts to hear His voice. Coming up on the Rediscover Hour today, we got a great show, as always, lined up for you. We've got Daniel McClure and Krista Masek, who are both from Novare Counseling Center. We're going to talk a bit about what COVID-19 and this whole sheltering in place is doing to our mental health, specifically, and also how it's handling our relationships. We're built as relational beings. We are created as relational beings. What kind of an effect is it having? Carrie Younes and Sharon McCartney are also joining us from St. Bartholomew's, and we are going to talk with them as part of our Great Catholic Parishes segment. They're going to tell us a little bit about something called Devoted Life, a women's group, and they're going to explain what that is all about. And then near the end of the show, Father Joseph Johnson from Holy Family, who was recently featured on the front page of the Catholic Spirit. He's going to join us as well as we are celebrating the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker on May the 1st. So if you're listening on May the 1st, well, happy Feast of St. Joseph to you. But he's going to be talking about the dignity of work, something else that many of us are not doing nearly as much of here during this pandemic time. So he's going to talk to us about that as well and give us some encouragement on how to continue on in this time where we may be deprived of work. All right, so before we launch into things, as always, let's stop here at the top of the show, offer the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joining me now, a licensed psychologist at Novare Counseling Center, is Daniel McClure, doctorate in clinical psychology from the Institute for Psychological Sciences at Divine Mercy University in Arlington, Virginia. And he was also a seminarian for our own archdiocese from 2009 to 2012. He is now married to Lucy, who is a pediatric nurse, and no children yet. Welcome, Daniel. Good to have you with us.
Hey, Patrick. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'll put it that way. I'm doing okay. So far, so good. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But also joining us is Krista Masek, who's a licensed professional counselor at Novare Counseling Center. And she's worked in a variety of mental health settings, which span from working with adults struggling from addictions at a therapeutic horse ranch all the way to working with young babies and children who have experienced trauma. She's currently married and with two children, a 3.5-year-old and a 1-year-old. Krista, welcome to you.
Yes, thank you, Patrick, for having us.
Good to have you. Yeah, good to have you both on. Thank you for accepting the invitation to be on the show. So let me just start by asking, tell us a little about Novare Counseling Center. I don't know if our listeners are overly familiar with that. Daniel?
Yes, so Novare Counseling Center is a group of Catholic mental health professionals. There's four of us now. It was started by Dan Stockman, who's our director. He was initially a part-time private practice and also worked in a hospital system, but he had a desire on his heart to gather together other like-minded clinicians so that we could develop a culture together, something where that would be greater than each of us individually. So we're located on West 7th in St. Paul, and we work with a variety of clients from children all the way up to the elderly. We do a lot of couple therapy, individual therapy. And then we also, some of us are doing work around the diocese as well with seminarians, different missionaries, with the marriage tribunal as well.
Very nice. Thank you for that. And Krista, let me ask you, how is all this work that you've been doing with all this, the variety of people that you see, how has that changed in light of COVID-19?
Yeah, that's a great question, Patrick. I think particularly what I'm seeing is people are either taking advantage of the time and really kind of digging deep into their life experiences and recognizing maybe places that they're feeling, hurt, sad, what we kind of would recognize as maybe places of just pain in some respects, or it seems like they're kind of running away from that time. So they're kind of just trying to get rid of it or trying to get away from it, and kind of running into what we call kind of these defenses or defense mechanisms. So kind of like addictions or, feeling less symptoms, maybe feeling more tired, maybe feeling more anxious. So I see people are really either taking advantage of this time or they're really kind of running away from it.
And do you, Krista, I'll ask you this as well. Have you made adaptations there at Novare so that you're able to continue some counseling when in this time of social distancing?
Yeah, at Novare Counseling, we've actually been doing an online therapy session. We're fully online right now. We aren't seeing people in-house, but it's been really good, actually. We found that online counseling is obviously the best as in person, but we found that online counseling has been very effective, and we found it works really well. And it's kind of cool because we get to see people in their homes or, kind of places where they feel comfortable in some respects.
Mm-hmm.
And so it creates an atmosphere where you're actually doing the work, where maybe the symptoms are the worst, or maybe you feel the most stressed or anxious. So we've found that it has been really effective.
Wonderful. That's good to hear. I'm glad to hear that in this time, because it is, as you already mentioned, Krista, it is making some difference. It's having an impact on us in terms of our mental health, without a doubt. Daniel, let me ask you to weigh in on this as well. What, in your perspective, are some of the contributors to our either in the betterment of our mental health or in its deterioration? What kind of an effect does social distancing, isolation, sheltering in place, what kind of an effect does that have on us?
Great question. Yeah, I would say, this is a crisis, and the root of that word is both an opportunity and a time of decision when things can get better or worse. And we're seeing a bit of both. On the worse end, there's been a lot of reports of both from China and then also from the U.S., increased divorce, domestic violence, increase of prescriptions for antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication, different addictions, drugs, alcohol, pornography, etc. So there's a lot that is not going well for people. I think fundamentally, people have talked about this as being a surreal time. I think in a way it's actually a more real time, where we are realizing that we're not in control, that we are fundamentally dependent, and that can be scary. That takes courage to face. And so some people want to face that, or they don't have the support to face that, so they're running away. On the other hand, I've seen a lot of my own clients have really embraced that, and they've gone to these deep places of core fears, places of powerlessness, and it's really intensified the work. And actually is bearing quite a bit of fruit, where they can receive Christ's peace and compassion in those places, which brings even deeper freedom.
That's pretty profound. And Krista, back to you for a moment. Just, have you seen the same? Have you seen that people, many people are hurting because of this in terms of their own mental health, but some are taking opportunities to move into a place of powerlessness and calling out upon the Lord even more?
Yeah, definitely. I think this time is really bringing out the best and worst in people in some respects. And I know many people have said, the virus isn't necessarily the problem. It's just exposing the problem. And I think that's particularly what's happening in this time, particularly with ourselves and inside of ourselves. So I definitely have seen powerlessness and those things come, those themes come up, fear particularly. But I think the biggest thing that I've seen come up is loneliness and this experience of, you know, we actually are faced with this idea. We can kind of fill that gap with all these things that we're doing, like work, or we can fill it with hanging out with people and this idea of, you know, in big groups or going on walks, whatever it may be. But this particular time is exposing this deep place of loneliness, this deep place where I actually don't feel like I can connect with my peers, because the reality is I'm not connecting with myself. I'm actually not connecting with who I am, and I'm not accepting that who I am is fundamentally good. And therefore, no matter where I am, no matter what circumstance I'm in, I actually am connected with people because I'm connected with myself.
Wow. So, Daniel, let me toss it back to you, too. And I want to stay on this theme of relationships, because I mentioned at the top of the show that we are created by a relational God in his image for relationship. One of the, well, the first thing that was said in the book of Genesis that was not good was for man to be alone, right? Mm-hmm. And so we are created for these relationships. And obviously, our relationships are happening somewhat at an arm's length, even with all the great technology, which we should be grateful for, that it can show us people's faces as we're speaking to them over, you know, over the internet and such. But yet there's still something missing. There's still this proclivity towards this loneliness because we are not able to be face to face. Is that correct?
Very much so. I think, like Krista says, in a way, the current circumstances exacerbate what is already there underneath the surface. When we think about relationships, relationships require vulnerability. To be vulnerable means to be woundable, where we could get hurt. We let our armor down. But that's also where we can receive and give love. And so these various defense mechanisms are ways that we put armor on and avoid that or distract ourselves from that place. So there's a challenge there, and an invitation, both to be more vulnerable with one another, but also ultimately, and this is so important, is that there's a loneliness that no creature can fulfill. Hmm. There's a loneliness that's infinite, the desire to be completely known, completely loved. Creatures can help with that, but only God can meet that. And so actually, there's a difference. I heard a presentation that, you know, the English language is one of the few that distinguishes between loneliness and solitude. Hmm. And that solitude is different. That solitude has the potential for hope and also for a deeper communion with God. And that solitude is actually necessary for relationships with our spouses, with our friends. And without solitude, we actually will put all of our infinite desires on these finite creatures around us and ultimately become bitter.
Yeah, that's profound, especially in this time. It almost sounds like, and Daniel, this is for you again, but it almost sounds a little bit like just being alone is not necessarily solitude, but solitude includes some sort of willfulness to it, that I'm entering into this solitude for a purpose. Am I hearing that right?
Absolutely. I think it's possible to have that interior disposition of solitude, even in a group, and right, that we need that. Solitude is, there's a willfulness, as you say, and a recognition that my heart is made for something infinite. And no one else can fill that. People can actually, and we need this, and this is what we hope to do as therapists, is accompany people on that journey to face their own interior solitude, because we need companionship and we need hope along the way. But it's not that I'm going to, as a therapist or as a spouse, going to meet the full needs of the person I'm with. But I'm going to stay with them in that place, sometimes of darkness, waiting for the resurrection, waiting for Christ to come in. And he always does.
Amen. Thanks be to God for that. He certainly does. Only a couple minutes left, so let me give a minute to each of you. Krista, I just want to ask you about any suggestions that you would have for Catholics, our listening audience, about what they could do, a couple tips, just what they can do to assist and build up their mental health during this time.
Yeah, I think practically there's a couple things. Obviously, the external things are like you can listen to some podcasts, you can kind of go for daily walks, get outside, take a bubble bath, or have some, you know, just time for yourself, prayer time for yourself. Those are some of the practical tips that St. Thomas Aquinas gives us to kind of get rid of the sadness that sometimes accompanies loneliness. But also a good cry, you know, letting yourself kind of get to a place of I'm feeling what I'm feeling, and that's just the reality of what it is, and it's okay to feel that way. And so just giving yourself permission to feel in some respects. And also, obviously, if there's kind of this place of I'm feeling this constant anxiety, I'm feeling this constant sadness, therapy is definitely a place to be able to explore that. It doesn't necessarily mean that I'm in a place where, you know, I've hit rock bottom. Hopefully therapy can actually accompany you before that place, or you can at least have someone with you in that place. So would encourage people to look into that if that's something they're feeling in this time too.
Great. Thank you, Krista. How about you, Daniel? A couple tips for us?
Yeah, I think one is to allow space for beauty. Pope Benedict XVI said that beauty wounds our illusion of self-sufficiency. It shows our vulnerability, but it also is a sign of hope, just the gratuitousness of God. And this is a perfect time with spring. Just walking around, you could go with a spouse or friend and just walk and point out to each other beautiful things that you see, whether it's the buds in a tree or just a father and son interacting, riding bikes, or whatever it is. And then also similarly is gratitude. There's been studies that just writing down three good things from the day at the end of the day can increase mental health, and it really connects us with the giver of the gift. So I'd recommend those two. And then for couples, because we've seen, you know, there's the increase of stress, you're spending a lot more time together, I would actually recommend a book by Dr. Sue Johnson. She's one of the premier couples therapists, and this book is written for people to work on at home. And the book is also written for a Christian audience, and it's called Created for Connection. And it leads couples through, I think, 7 different conversations, really working on their relationship. So yeah, like with all of us, with couples, there's a real opportunity to grow deeper and to rediscover one another.
Fantastic. Well, thank you both, Daniel McClure, Krista Masek, and your work with Novare Counseling. God bless you in that, and thank you for joining us on the Rediscover Hour. Take care, stay safe, stay well, all right?
You too, Patrick. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. There, Novare's website is Novare, N-O-V-A-R-E, Counseling, all one word, novarecounseling.com. Check them out there online and see if there's something there that might be a resource to you. And again, that book was Created for Connection. We're going to head into our first break. When we come back, we've got Carrie Younes and Sharon McCartney with us from St. Bartholomew's for our Great Catholic Parishes segment. Stay with us.
Are you near retirement? Don't let taxes and fees chip away at your retirement savings. Those little charges add up quickly and eat away at your hard-earned nest egg. That's the last thing you want. Take control. Build lasting retirement security with an annuity from Catholic United Financial. We offer a safe, secure place to preserve your money with a guaranteed rate of return. And no annual fees, no transfer fees, no account service fees, no hidden fees, none. Nada. We guarantee a competitive interest rate no matter what the market's doing. Maximize your savings. Transfer funds to a new Catholic United Bonus Plan annuity and get a first-year bonus interest rate. Honor your faith with Catholic United. Over 140 years of people helping people. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safemoney. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safemoney. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey. We're there for life. Holding on to hope.
Never letting go. No.
welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. And we are, of course, over the phone. I always want to say over the phone because I always like to introduce whether our guests are in studio or over the phone. But nobody's in studio right now except for our dear friend Paul. Carrie Younes is a voluntary committee member with the for the St. Bart's of Wayzata Women's Speaker Series Devoted Life. She taught in a Catholic high school for 2 years and then served as youth minister at St. Bart's for 4 years, followed by a position as the director of community life for 3. She and her husband Mike live in Plymouth with their 3-year-old son, 1-year-old daughter, and baby number 3 due in September. Welcome to you, Carrie.
Hey, thanks, Patrick.
Good to have you with us. Thanks so much. And also joining us is Sharon McCartney, who's a Spanish teacher at 2 preschools in the Plymouth Wayzata area for the past 12 years. She and her husband, Brandon, live in Plymouth with her 4 kids, who are 16, 14, 11, and 5. And she volunteers at St. Bart's as a catechist in elementary faith formation and also on the Devoted Life Committee. Sharon, welcome to you as well.
Thank you so much, Patrick. Thanks for having us today.
Now, I could ask either one of you this, but Sharon, I hear that you and Carrie are actually, you share more than just a volunteer or a ministry partnership as well, but you are actually related.
That's correct. Yeah, Carrie is actually married to my younger brother, Michael.
Very nice. So you are sisters-in-law.
Yes,
we are.
Yeah.
No, very good. Very good. Well, let's talk a little bit about devoted life. This is part of our monthly Great Catholic Parishes segment. And one of the things that we have heard of that makes St. Bartholomew of Wayzata a great Catholic parish is devoted life. So, Carrie, we'll start with you. What is devoted life?
Absolutely. So, devoted life is quite simple, actually. It's just an evening that brings women together. At any age, and we serve an awesome dinner by this awesome chef, and it's all plated. We have our men's group that serves the women, and then we have a speaker. So it's very simple, but it is rooted in community, and just it uplifts the women in our community. So
wonderful, Sharon. What do you do during a devoted life session? What's the layout of the evening?
Oh, okay, great. So basically what we do is we have the women come gather, and for the first hour, everyone has their seated dinner, like Carrie was talking about, that's chef prepared, and our men's group serves the dinner out to everyone. And throughout the dinner, Carrie and I are emceeing the event, and we're doing prayer together. We're doing a highlight of a parishioner or someone who's attending the event to have them give a testimonial about their faith journey and what has ultimately led them to St. Bart's and what they appreciate and value most about their faith, and about being, if they're a parishioner, about what they appreciate the most about being a parishioner in our community. And it's a way for the women to meet someone personally and connect. Then we serve dessert. And then we, for the second hour, we move downstairs into the church basement where we have a large gathering room. And at that point, our speaker takes over and speaks for about 45 minutes and gives a message of hope, of maybe gives a personal testimony, maybe is educating us about something in the Catholic faith, just various different topics that we work around together. We also do a little fun community-sponsored giveaway every event that is just a little something fun for the women to, you know, to have a little drawing. And that's about it, really. It's pretty laid back. We really just want the women to come and have a night of restoration and rejuvenation and inspiration in their faith and in their community.
Absolutely. Carrie, back to you. Who have you had in for speakers? Can you give us just a taste of some of the people you've had in?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are embarking on our 5th year. So next October will be our 5th year. And we've only had one repeat, if you can imagine.
Wow.
Our first year, I was actually employed at St. Bart's, and Sharon brought this idea to me. We were able to have 5 speakers our very first year, and that ranged from Deb Hadley to Sharon. You might have to help me out a little bit. We've had Father Mike,
Elizabeth,
our only male speaker, which is our pastor.
I'm sorry.
We've had Elizabeth Kelly speak. We've had Laura Kelly Sanucci speak. We've had Crystal Crocker from the Archdiocese speak.
Yep, we've heard of her, all right.
You know, it's interesting, Patrick, because last night I was reading my recent edition of The Catholic Spirit that had come, and yeah. I just felt so blessed because two of our speakers are contributors, you know, Laura Kelly Fanucci and Elizabeth Kelly, and then also our pastor, Father Michael Van Sloan, is also a contributor, and I was like, wow, I feel so blessed that I've got such strong role models around me through our parish to help lift me up, especially during this, you know, really unprecedented time that we're in right now.
Yeah, yeah, without a doubt. Now, were both of you involved with Devoted Life from the very beginning?
Yeah, we definitely were. So Sharon brought the idea to me when I was working there, and we actually went back and forth for quite a while to figure out how to make this work. She has some really good girlfriends that attend a Protestant church, and they do something very similar. And so Sharon invited me to their event, and I absolutely fell in love with the event. I thought it was amazing. And so her and I just kind of got to planning, and honestly, it was not the two of us. It was the Lord's work and how it all fell together. Contacting this chef, and he was available. I was able to book all five speakers within basically a week and a half for that very first year, and we were both amazed. And I would say, I'm going to go out on a limb, I would say that it's one of the most highly attended events at our parish, other than, obviously, Mass, mm-hmm. and Father Mike Van Sloan's Bible study.
Wow. And how many people typically attend then?
You know, it's definitely seasonal. We start in October, and we're very careful how we plan it and when we plan it. We try to stay away from the busy seasons, which we never have anything going on in December because of obvious reasons. And then we wrap up in April because May is kind of the crazy month for,
right. yeah.
for school activities. So we range between 50 and 120.
Wow.
Right. I would say our 120 event was when we had Laura Sobiek speak, who I'm sure you're familiar with her son Zach, and the book she wrote about mm-hmm. his life battling cancer, which is now becoming a movie, and his famous song Clouds, mm-hmm. which I think a lot of people are probably familiar with around this area. She drew our largest crowd, and her evening was very, it was a difficult night, but just a beautiful, beautiful message that she gave us of finding joy through suffering. And that I think especially now in these times, to have something like that as a reminder to fall back on is so critical.
So let me ask this, Sharon, we'll stay with you. So who is this Devoted Life evening? Who's it intended for? Is it women of all ages and all stages of life? Is it specifically more for moms? Is it specifically more for elderly? Is it geared at all towards young adult women or even teens? Or who comes to these evenings, and who is it geared for?
You know, the beauty of this event is that it is for everyone. And that's one of the aspects of it that I love the most. We have all ages who attend, and I've even had my teenage daughters come. And they ask every time, can I please come? And if they have, if they don't have too much on their plate that night, I like to even bring them too. But we do have all ages, young moms, moms with teenagers, empty nesters, you know, people who are retired. It's a beautiful way to gather everyone from all walks and even other faiths, which has been a beautiful delight too, to see other people seeking or searching or not even knowing that they were come and attend, mm-hmm. because the beauty of it is that people from our parish are inviting their friends to come in.
Right. So I can definitely see that this would be a major community builder. And so I'm wondering, I will ask you, Carrie, what effect has COVID-19 had on Devoted Life and some of the community that's being built there? What do you think? What have you experienced?
Yeah, so we had to cancel our April event, which was our last event of the year. Mm-hmm. We were going to have Nell Ault be our speaker, and I know she's been on your show before, and she's amazing. So we're going to have her come back in October. We were given the opportunity to possibly do Devoted Life through like a Zoom meeting, but Sharon and I really hone in on what is our purpose, what is our mission, and if it doesn't fit within the Devoted Life mission, we have to say no to it. Mm-hmm. So the purpose of Devoted Life is that human connection. And yes, like internet and Zoom is really positive during this time, but she's too great. She's too wonderful of a speaker. So we really wanted to bring her back in person. So for us personally, that was canceled. But I think like on a community level, St. Bart's has done a pretty great job at still trying to roll out their Bible studies are on Skype. They've done a wonderful job with Sunday Mass. They've come so far from the first Mass through this last Sunday with their production, and it's on YouTube, so anyone can watch it. Father Mike is just so dynamic. But truly, I have to tell you that when we get to the Eucharistic prayer, I cry every single Sunday just because I miss Jesus and the Eucharist so much. And I know that I'm not the only person that feels that way. So I'm super excited to get back into the actual building and to be with our fellow parishioners.
Yeah. So Sharon, I'll ask you, so you are full steam ahead. Once the pandemic clears, you are right back on with Devoted Life. Is that right?
Absolutely. And Patrick, I just want to note too, we've evolved over the years that Carrie and I have been working on this, and we have a wonderful committee that has formed of a group of ladies in the parish who work in tandem with us on this now. And it runs like clockwork, and we're so blessed to have the volunteer group that we are in together to form this ministry and lift each other up. And everyone is really excited to get going again next fall and continue this ministry together.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, together, I think is a pretty absolutely necessary word. And I'm glad that at least you have that inspiration, that desire to go ahead with Devoted Life, to get it going up and running again, perhaps better than ever before, because of some of the effects that we've learned, what we've had through this COVID-19 time. So I'll just close off. We've only got about a minute left, but want to ask you both. Carrie, I'll start with you. Do you have any tips for women who may want to start their own women's group?
I say get a group of ladies together, talk about what your goals are, and stick to those goals, to that mission. It really helps kind of clarify what needs to be done. And I think as women, it's hard for us to say no to ideas or no to people. And if you can come up with a mission and some goal statements, it helps you to kind of narrow down what you actually need to do. And I know I speak for Sharon as well. If anybody has questions or wants to get something like this started, we're an open book. We are happy to help you.
Yeah, very good. How about you, Sharon?
You know, I think it, along with what Carrie is saying, you know, look around at what, like how Carrie is saying, what your community might need or what you feel inside. For me, it was personally what I felt like I was missing in my life. And I really wanted to get to know the women in my parish better. I felt like there was a little void, that we didn't have something that was just for us women at that time. And for me, it was just kind of, I think, God's hand that I had some friends from another parish, actually not even Catholic, who were running something that they had started just like this. And it really was just a leap of faith to take them out to lunch and talk with them about how this actually came to fruition, and a lot of prayer and, Lord, could I actually do this? And I was really blessed that Carrie was in the position she was in at the time at the parish, that I had someone I felt like I could approach and talk to. But, you know, take that leap of faith. It definitely was. And like Carrie said, the Holy Spirit was definitely with us, because it all fell together so beautifully and has been such a gift. I feel like it's truly one of those volunteer opportunities in my life where I feel like I am the one getting so much out of it every time. even though I'm serving.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds like it's the Lord at work. All right. Well, I thank you both, Sharon McCartney and Carrie Younes. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Rediscover Hour. God bless you. And I look forward to hearing more about about devoted life at St. Bart's in Wayzata once this pandemic clears. God bless you both.
Thank you so much, Patrick. Thank you.
All right. We're going to head into our next break. And when we come back, we've got Father Joseph Johnson from Holy Family, who's going to be talking to us about the dignity of work. Stay with us. Rediscover.
This is how we sometimes look at confession. Oh, I got to go and I got to get rid of my sin, because if I don't, then I'm going to be in trouble.
In Central Texas, Monty, welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Marcel.
I began to wonder for myself, what if I embraced the sacrament of penance in the same way I do all the other wonderful things that the Holy Mother Church offers us? And so I began to do that, and it totally transformed confession for me. And I just really love to go to confession now. And a friend of mine gave me another tip. He said, you know, when you're sitting there and you have that anxiety and that fear about walking through that door, pray to your Holy Mother and ask her to go with you. And just like she leads us to her son, she'll take us in there, and it'll be okay. And like you guys have said, that coming out of that room, that there's no feeling like that, clean and ready to receive the Holy Eucharist. It's just the greatest thing on earth.
Maybe you should be the next guest on the show, because that was beautiful.
Experts with insight on our Catholic faith.
Morning Air, 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio.
You are stillness, you are quiet, you are comfort and peace.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Cami Berthume, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley, and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining me now on the phone, a frequent contributor here to the Rediscover Hour, as well as many other places around the Archdiocese, but he is the pastor of Holy Family Catholic Church and Holy Family Academy since 2012. Before that, he was rector of the Cathedral of St. Paul and had various other posts around the Archdiocese. Father Joseph Johnson. Father Joseph, good to have you with us.
Thanks, Patrick. Good to be back with you.
Yes, absolutely. And congratulations, making the front page of the Catholic Spirit.
Oh, my goodness. I hope it doesn't go to my head.
Well, very good. Well, you're hitting the media pretty strong and running now with both the Catholic Spirit and the Rediscover Hour going. But if people are listening on Friday, May 1st, I want to wish them and to wish you another one of your patronal feast days, a happy feast of St. Joseph the Worker.
Thank you, Patrick. Although I always tease that I have to wait for the feast of St. Joseph the Slacker. I don't work hard enough to get the feast day today, but he right. is a wonderful, wonderful saint.
Well, and we wanted to talk about that with you. I thought not only is he your namesake, your patronal saint in that way, but also because of this COVID-19, because of this social distancing, many of us find ourselves in a place where we have a reduced amount of hours of work, or perhaps not even working at all. And, of course, there's the widespread concern over the loss of wages, and rightly so. That's a very real thing for a lot of people, and it affects places like our parishes in terms of their own income and that sort of thing. But it also steals away from us that the dignity of work. And I thought it would be great to have you expound a little bit upon the dignity of work in light of this feast and in light of lacking some of the work that we have been doing.
Sure. Happy to do so. Let's start just before getting into the present challenges. You know, our society in general has looked at work in a schizophrenic way. Either work is everything. We're workaholics. My career gives meaning to my life. Women that don't have a job outside of the home, you know, that are quote-unquote only, you know, moms and stay-at-home wives and moms, you know, that's not good enough. You have to have a career, and the career is where my fulfillment is going to be, and all that. So we glorify work in one sense. And the other sense, we're like, you know what? I can't wait to retire. I'm sick of all of this rat race, and then I'm done, and I'm going to go off, and I'm just going to sit on the beach or go on the golf course or go fishing or whatever. You know, so it's this strange dichotomy, the way we look at work. And if we remember back to Genesis, there is work in the garden. Toil is what comes, the hardship of work is what comes after the fall. But already in the garden, there is a work that is given to man. So work is not a punishment for sin. Toil is a punishment for sin. But work has a dignity to it that is proper to man. And so part of our problem is not seeing where work fits in a healthy, quote-unquote, normal schedule. And part of that is that we fail to honor the Lord's Day as a day of rest. You know, we've made, our society has made Sunday the biggest shopping day of the week. And we force people to work so that we can shop. And we you know, get to the end of the work week Friday afternoon, and woo-woo, Friday evening we're going to have fun. Saturday is going to be recreation. Oh, and then Sunday comes, and Sunday is a prep day for Monday. You know, it's catch-all with laundry and cutting the grass and this, that, and the other. We've got it backwards. You know, we would have a much better perspective on work if we also understood rest, and if we understood that we've been given a day of rest, we've been commanded to have a day of rest, to honor the Lord, but also to rest ourselves, spiritually and physically, on the Lord's Day, then we'd have a much different approach to work. And that's where the present crisis actually comes in to help. One of my parishioners who works at the large retail chain was telling me that they're still open for business, but that all of their patterns have shifted. Sunday is no longer the biggest day of the week for shopping, you know, because people have more flexibility in their schedules. They're doing things at different times and the like. And so one of my prayers is that out of this crisis, when life begins to emerge again from our seclusion and isolation, that we don't pick right back up with the unhealthy habits that we had before, that we find a way to integrate some of these lessons that we can discover during this time.
And I think that's a great hope, and I do hope that there are things that we can bring out of this time, this, as you put it, time of isolation and seclusion, that will actually it will escalate our own understanding of the value of work. But let's plunge into that a little bit further there, Father, in terms of specifically work itself. What is dignified about work? What does it do to us as human beings?
So work provides an opportunity for us to actualize talents that we've been given. You know, that the Lord has endowed us with certain gifts that we can put to use. We can put them to use for first of all, for providing for our family. You know, sometimes we romanticize work and we think it has to be something fulfilling. No, sometimes work is just making widgets. What's fulfilling is I keep a roof over the head of my family and I put food on the plate. You know, that's what's fulfilling. But there are ways that work can allow me to bring particular skills that I have. Or if it's not a work that requires particular skills, it's a way that I can get in touch with what St. Therese of Lisieux called the little way. That if it's not a particular skill that's demanded of me in my job, there's definitely a demand of charity in my job. You know, and I remember speaking with one of my friends who was a receptionist. And it was at an intense financial firm and this other, and she didn't have any financial skills. She wasn't, you know, giving tips on what stocks to buy or sell or anything like that. She was just answering the phones and transferring and just very, very basic job there that whatever. And when she decided to leave that firm, all these high-powered traders and financial analysts, all this, were literally in tears. Because what she had brought to their office in the midst of all of their stress and all of the whirlwind of activity and all that, she brought a peaceful, loving presence. And when she was leaving, they knew they were going to miss that because that was a real treasure in their midst. So I think we need to be clear on that. You say, you know, I'm not a concert pianist. I can't bring that skill or, you know, this, that, and the other. We all have something to bring, and it's the peace and the love of Christ that we can bring there.
Yeah, indeed. I'm thinking too that maybe perhaps there's even a bit of the Imago Dei in work, in the sense of going back to Genesis. I mean, another thing that we learn is that on the sixth day, God finished all the work he had done. And in fact, that's echoed by Christ on the cross, right? It is finished, that there is work that our Lord does. And in a sense, when we join in with work in a virtuous way, then are we also joining in to be Christ-like as well?
Absolutely. Part of it is that tending of God's creation, that that he gave man stewardship over the garden. So that's definitely where we do live up to being made in the image and likeness of God and all of that. And then you touch on another point, this work of Christ in redemption. We have several types of work. Only one type of work do we get a paycheck for. But we have the work of our home, which we have to do in order to be faithful to our vocation. And then we have the work of the church. And I've said it, and you've heard me say it till you're probably sick of hearing me say it. The work of the church is not the work of the clergy and a small paid staff.
Amen to that.
You know, the work of the church is the work of every single baptized person.
Mm-hmm.
It's our shared mission. And what do the statistics show? Is it 7% of Catholics participate in the life of the church in any way other than just kind of showing up? You know, that the other 93% actually aren't engaged in the work of the church? That we have allowed a kind of a consumer mentality to enter into the life of the church, where I show up, I get a sacrament, or I attend a program, and then I go. It's provided for me, and maybe I'll give a donation to cover what I think it's worth or whatever. But there's no sense of I am shoulder to shoulder with my fellow disciples together doing the work God has commissioned all of us by our baptism to do.
Well, just a couple minutes remaining here, Father, before our final break, and I just wanted to get from you some suggestions as to what people do specifically in current circumstances where, to reframe the question in light of your comments, to engage in work other than that work that we get a paycheck for, or to engage in rest as well. Any tips for our listeners?
Well, I think if you're a reader, you could look at Leisure, the Basis of Culture by Joseph Pieper. That would give you a good sense of this, the difference between work and leisure and how to try to discover that. I think with some of this enforced stillness, with so many activities stripped away from us, to rediscover what leisure looks like, and especially the time in the home with the family together, and to prize that and not let work or sports or this or that or the other, when we get back into the groove of things ramp up, don't let those things oppress that treasure of family life again. And I'd also think something for people on the retirement end of the spectrum. Retirement is not a time of self-indulgence. It's not, okay, I've paid my dues, and now it's all me time. No, now you're free to do the other works that aren't the ones that pay you, but the ones that God has given to you, to be a grandparent in that way, to be helping out at church, to visit the sick, to whatever, to discover those creative ways that virtue wants to flourish and produce a fruit of holiness by engaging you and bringing Christ to those around you.
Amen to that. Well, Father Joseph, it's always great to have you on the Rediscover Hour. Always great to speak with you. And I was wondering, before we let you go, if you could leave us with your blessing, please.
Absolutely. Through the intercession of our Immaculate Mother Mary, whose month this is dedicated in a special way, and on this day where we reconsecrate our nation to her, and good Saint Joseph, her most chaste spouse, who is an example of fidelity in humility and in work, may Almighty God bless you all, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father, thank you again. God bless you. Stay on the air.
Thank you so much, Patrick.
All right. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, Paul and I have a few updates for you around the COVID-19 crisis, and we will share them with you right after this. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Hi, this is Matt Burke, former Minnesota Viking and Super Bowl champion, here for Catholic United Financial. Did you know Catholic United Financial is now a $1 billion company? Not bad for starting over 140 years ago in a St. Paul church basement with $635 and change. They aren't the biggest, but they're absolutely rock solid when it comes to your finances. You don't get to $1 billion in assets by being anything less. They've sold life insurance from the start, when it was about people pooling their resources to help each other in times of need. They also provide ultra-safe and secure financial products, like annuities, which are a great complement to anyone's financial portfolio. And they now offer Medicare Supplement Health Insurance for those 65 and older. Maybe it's time you aligned your finances with your faith, like my family did, and join a $1 billion financial company you can trust. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Look them up at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org.
And welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. For the latest up-to-date news on COVID-19's effect around the Archdiocese, please go to archspm.org/COVID-19 without the dash. Again, archspm.org/COVID-19. On that page, you can also find resources of where to view Masses online and on TV.
And you can catch daily Mass and devotions here on Relevant Radio, Monday through Friday for daily Mass, 12 noon with Father Rocky and the Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 with Drew Mariani, Sunday Mass, 9 a.m. and noon.
And speaking of prayer, another great opportunity to pray is joining Archbishop Hebda and Bishop Cousins. If you're listening on Friday or Saturday, join them for the live stream rosary procession this Sunday, May 3rd, beginning at 2 p.m. Our bishops will crown Our Lady of Fatima, pray the rosary, have benediction, and pray a prayer of consecration to Mary. For more information and to tune in, go to archspm.org/rosary. Or visit the Archdiocesan Facebook page.
And parishes are committed to serving you in the midst of this pandemic. Please continue your financial support of your parish at this critical time. Visit your parish's website to learn how to give or give to the Minnesota Catholic Relief Fund at ccf-mn.org.
And are you wondering about how you can be a witness to the resurrection during the pandemic? You can still sign up to receive local evangelization updates. Just go to archspm.org/evangelization and enter your email address. And I also wanted to give voice just to those two books that were recommended during our show. Daniel McClure from Novara Counseling recommended Created for Connection by Dr. Sue Johnson for couples who are needing a little help during this time of spending a lot more time together. And then we just heard Father Joseph Johnson talk about the book Leisure, the Basis of Culture by Joseph Pieper on the dignity of work and of leisure. So, Paul, how are you getting on these days?
I'm getting along just fine. You know, here in what we call the treehouse, the studio at Relevant Radio in Golden Valley, where we have beautiful maple trees around us. They have already budded out, and the flowers are coming out. The leaves will be out in another week or two. It's springtime.
Oh, it's such a gift, isn't it?
When that, it is.
When we got that snowfall near the beginning of the pandemic, I was thinking, I will never make it. I will never make it through this whole thing.
You'll make it. You'll make it. You will always make it.
The Lord is gracious and merciful.
He is good. He works in strange ways sometimes,
he does.
But he's good.
There's no question about that. But yes, he has brought us some beautiful weather, and it is great. Just as Daniel McClure was talking about, going for walks, pointing out beautiful things, that has been a real lifesaver for us. I know that that's true. So
what's coming up next week?
Yeah, next week on the Rediscover Hour, we're going to hear from Father Spencer Howe, pastor at Holy Cross in Northeast Minneapolis, on some priestly creativeness in response to COVID-19. I know a lot of our priests have been doing a lot of creative things. We're going to hear some of his ideas. Nell O'Leary, who we just heard referenced, she's going to be on the show, and she's going to get real about how the new normal of stay-at-home family life in the midst of this pandemic is treating her. And Mark Westlake shares about St. Thomas Academy's response to the critical need for protective medical equipment during this time. Exciting show coming up, folks. In the meantime, stay at home and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday afternoons at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.